So each afternoon at this particular session, 3:30 to 4:30, we will do heart practice meditation and cultivation of metta. And we'll do a little bit of a different flavor on the practice each day. And so metta practices are the... they really accompany mindfulness. And they really actually allow for mindfulness to work properly. And so as we are learning to pay attention to something as seemingly simple as our breathing, we also want to be able to hold that attention. We want to be able to guide the attention in a way that is kind, friendly, not judging, not dragging the attention back to the breath in a frustrated anger. And you might have seen some of this happen already today. And so all of the different practices, there's a Pali word called bhavana. That's the cultivation of qualities. And even actually meditation is a very Western, a very much later concept. Meditation isn't even a word that you find in early Buddhism. You find this word bhavana, which means to cultivate, which means that we are just like soil or just like anything that we would grow, anything that we would cultivate, is we have to get in there and we have to draw something out. So we start with basically a seed. And in mindfulness practice, we're starting with the seed of awareness, and we're using our attention to bring that seed into fruition and to be more aware of what's happening in us, what's happening around us. And these seeds of metta qualities are also, as I spoke last night about taking refuge, we want to understand to some degree that this is something that's inherent in your experience. It's not magic, it's not an esoteric philosophical concept. It's a very basic aspect of human experience. Even Charles Darwin is famous for saying that sympathy is the strongest human instinct. So we're actually hardwired. Your nervous system, your being, is hardwired for compassion and kindness. And all of these sympathetic qualities. But some of us maybe have found that somewhere along the way we either stopped trying or something happened. We got discouraged, we got hurt, we got wounded, and we started to feel like sympathy or these qualities were maybe dangerous. And so sometimes they're buried down pretty far. So we're just really trying to go back in there and dig them up a little bit. And so metta practices, there's essentially four. There's kindness, loving kindness, kind friendliness, which is what we're going to work on specifically today and tomorrow. And out of the kindness and friendliness and metta, what arises, what grows out of that is the experience of karuna or compassion, which is this ability in this potential we have to care about our suffering and to care about our pain and to have compassion for the fact that life has maybe been a lot harder than you thought it was going to be. And with compassion also comes forgiveness, the ability to no longer hold on to anger and hatred and resentment, the ability to learn how to let that go. And out of that metta also, we see the arising of mudita, which is an appreciation, which you could say is the partner to compassion. Compassion is about turning towards what's difficult and challenging and caring about that. And appreciation is about turning towards what's good and what's pleasant and what's agreeable and what's beautiful and learning how to appreciate that and hold that with gratitude. And then equanimity is the cultivation of mindfulness and metta. When mindfulness and metta are fully realized and fully brought into our experience, we have this beautiful potential of an equanimity, which is a strange word, maybe we don't use very much, but it's a balance. It's a ability to hold pain and joy, to hold joy, to hold sorrow in a way where we understand that we're going to get both. Life is a spectrum. Life is both tragic and beautiful, and you're going to get both of those kinds of experiences. So we want to be able to hold that. We want to be able to understand in a very real way that that's how it is. And we want to be able to respond to the conditions that are present. So when we're having a difficult time, when we're in loss and sadness and hardship in our life, we want to be able to meet that with compassion. And when we're doing well and then we're enjoying our life and we're experiencing benefits, and we want to be able to appreciate that. We need to be able to do both. And so metta, we'll talk about metta and do some practice around it. It's understood from the Buddhist perspective and really from the view of the psychological framework of Buddhist practice that metta is appropriate in every moment. There's never an experience where metta is not an appropriate thing to have or to hold. And it's the experience of, it's often translated as loving kindness, which for me is a little bit, I have a struggle with that term because I've been, the word love, actually, I'm actually have a lot of fear about the word love because I've been extremely hurt by it. So some of us might have an experience where love, because the word love has such a wide range of meaning, sometimes it can be it can bring up some stuff that maybe is challenging. So if you don't have this experience, if the word love is something that you feel good about and doesn't bring up any difficulty and you feel open to it, I want to encourage you to hold that term. But also because I know that for me and for a lot of the people that I've taught with and worked with over the years, love carries with it some degree of difficulty. So really we want to use the word friendliness, kindness. And really, actually, friendliness is the most appropriate and the most accurate term. The word metta comes from a Pali word, mita. Some of you might know this word, kalyana mita, which means like good friend or spiritual friend. And so literally, the term metta literally means friend. To be friend. And you all know the experience of friendliness. And you probably all know how good it feels to be in the presence of friendliness. And so metta is about friendliness. And it's really, for me, about getting in touch with my own deepest and my own true basic goodness. The idea and the reality and the truth for all of us that we want life to be good. We want to be good to ourselves. We want to be good to others. We have this very innate, almost hardwired desire to be friendly, to be agreeable, to be cooperative. And so that's really the spirit of metta. So it's not, I don't like to complicate it, and I think it's unnecessary to complicate the basic idea that we want to have a good life and that we want to be good to ourselves, and we, in the presence of friendliness, if we reflect on our own experience, when we think about other people and we think about our friends, when I think about my friends, I can't but help get a little bit happy. Because there's a relationship that's, when something good happens to me in my life, my mind immediately goes to, I think of the three friends I want to tell. Right? Oh, I can't wait to tell them about this thing. And on the flip side, every time that I have some hardship or I have some difficulty in my life, my mind automatically goes to, who are the friends that I can talk to about this? So it's a very basic human desire, a very basic human instinct, and it's really a core aspect of bhavana or cultivation. So it's something that we can actually cultivate. It's something that's there inherently for us, but it's also something that we can grow. We can water the seed of metta. We can plant it in appropriate soil. We can give it sunlight and water and warmth. And we can pay attention to it. And how do we cultivate wonderful crops and vegetation and fruit? Well, because we give them care and attention. If you plant a seed and you don't give it care and attention, it probably won't grow very well. It's the same analogy. I'm told, and I believe strongly, that the Buddha grew up in an agricultural society, and that actually his tribe and the people that he grew up with were sun worshippers. They were called the Sakyans, the clan of the Sakyans, and they worshiped the sun. And so the mind of the Buddha, the way that he taught the Dharma, was very much similar to the way in which we experience the sun. And so if we look at the ideas, the basic idea of Buddhism of being about light and wisdom and shining the light of mindfulness on what's true, the light of the sun, and also we look at the compassion, so it's about wisdom and compassion. It's about light and warmth. And as we shine the light, as we bring awareness to this quality of metta, of goodness, of friendliness, we also want to get in touch with the warmth of that, the compassion of that. And so that's how we cultivate that. And it's something that we have to do or participate in. It's not just an idea in your mind that you like or don't like. It's not like just a switch. You just switch on the metta and you're just friendly to yourself now. Right? We would like it to be that way, wouldn't we? That'd be so convenient. We wouldn't have to come here and sit here all day and do this grueling task of being kind to ourselves. We just switch it on and that would be how it would be. It's not how it works. It's something that we want to foster, we want to cultivate, we want to turn towards. And originally, actually, the practice of metta was taught as an antidote to fear. So I really want to keep it in its very basic form in this particular session, and trying to create an experience that overcomes fear. And so when I think about fear, it's a big word and it means a lot of different things, but on a very basic humanistic level, fear is about feeling unsafe. And so if I'm in fear, I don't feel safe. And so metta, and its basic, from a very biological perspective, is about safety. And if I don't feel safe, I don't feel at ease, I don't feel friendly often, I feel threatened, I feel defensive, and I sort of throw armor over my heart because I don't want to get hurt. And also, ironically, or maybe not ironically, maybe perfectly, I should say, is that safety is also the word that we use for refuge. Refuge, taking refuge, is about safety. And so you can take refuge in metta, the experience of safety. And one would also argue, and I think it's pretty clear from a science perspective, that as a human being, as a mammal, as a living creature, your basic human desire that you need before any other desire is safety. Is we need to feel safe. And if I don't feel safe, I know that much of my life I actually didn't feel safe. And it really made for difficult difficult experience on many different levels. And so this radical notion that actually I could cultivate a sense of safety and I can actually bring that inward and try to pull out this, do I feel safe in my experience? And because fear often is imagined, I say that probably mostly when we think about just things like anxiety and the epidemic of anxiety as a thing that most people struggle with. Anxiety is about fear, and anxiety is a fear that I'm not going to be safe, things aren't going to be okay, and now I feel anxious and I feel unsafe and I'm thinking about how things aren't going to be okay, and I think about all of the times when things weren't okay, and I'm cultivating fear. I'm cultivating anxiety in my mind and my emotions. And probably a lot of us don't know or didn't learn that you could cultivate safety, actually. You can abandon fear and you can abandon anxiety, and there's other drop-down menus available to us. And I know that if you also, if anybody here has an experience of traumatic stress, or if you've been abused in any way, or whether emotionally or physically abused, that actually sometimes we might find that our inner experience doesn't feel safe. A lot of people actually report that they don't feel safe in their body. In that we sometimes can, somebody asked me one time, a couple years ago, with a woman that I was doing some trauma therapy with, and she asked me a very simple question that I couldn't answer. She said, when do you feel safe? Or where do you feel safe? And I said, safe? I'm like, I don't actually feel safe ever. I mostly feel hypervigilant and scared on some low-grade level most of the time. And nobody actually ever asked me the question, when do you feel and how do you feel safe? And so when we start to look at anxiety and stress and these generic terms that we throw around, we want to look at how can we chop the roots of those out. How can we get down to what's really driving that sense of anxiety and fear and worry and concern? And so, on one hand, we can say, how can we find those roots and chop them out? But what seems to be more pragmatic and what seems to be more to what the Buddha is talking about, he said, don't worry about chopping those roots out. Just plant some new seeds. So next to the fear and the anxiety and the not feeling safe, we can start to feel into and learn how to bring out this metta, a sense of feeling safe or feeling protected or feeling good about ourselves and wanting to feel good about ourselves and wanting to do the right thing and being able to identify this really basic desire that you have that's not really probably as far away from you as you might think. It's probably much more available to you than we might consider. So the way the practice, and there's lots of different ways, and lots of Buddhist traditions have very different ways to practice metta bhavana. And because we're talking about the heart, or we're talking about emotions, it is a very much an experiential type of practice. It's not like mindfulness where I can just say, pay attention to your breath and come back to your breath. It's hard for me to say, pay attention to your kindness. Because you might be like, actually, I don't really feel like I have that. It's actually not here. Or whatever that is. So because it's such an experiential thing, I want to, before we get into the practice, I want to kind of outline the framework so that way hopefully it maybe makes a little bit more sense. And so we just start with the mind and just thinking and ideas alone, and we might just consider bringing into our mind right now the truth, and probably not hard for you to just consider, do I think kindness is important? Would I like to be more kind to myself? Is this something that just in my own belief system or my own views and my own perception about life, is this something that I would like to have more of? And so we just consider that possibility. And so in Buddhist practice, this is what's known as right view. It's the first factor on the Eightfold Path. It's the view and the attitude that kindness is something that I value. And that I actually am something that I value. I value myself. Maybe I have fear and I have anxiety and I have worry and I maybe have some regrets. Maybe I have made some choices I don't feel totally great about. Of course, that's going to be true. But below that, we can probably see that this idea of being good to ourselves and being kind to ourselves and holding our life, holding our experience with kindness is something that we agree with. And really, this little task here is about all that it takes. And so, considering that, holding that in your awareness, in your mind, in your heart, and even in your body if you can. We set the intention. So the second factor of the Eightfold Path is establishing and setting intention. The good news is about intention is intention and attention are both very similar in the sense that they're in every moment of experience. The mind always has some a type of intention or inclination. The mind is always moving towards something, isn't it? It's moving towards an object. It's moving towards a sound. It's moving, the fork is moving towards the plate. Right? There's always some intentionality. And this is also what the Buddha identifies as karma. This is what karma is the movement in the mind towards something. And so when we start to cultivate intention here in this metta bhavana, we're cultivating this intention to be kind. So we're moving the mind towards ourselves, we're moving the mind towards the breath with a kindness, a goodness, which is backed by that view. So I think that kindness is important, I want to be good to myself, I have this desire inside of me, I have this intention, and I'm going to start to roll it out. I'm going to cultivate that. So to some degree, you could say, and I feel very strongly, that what we're doing actually and what we're going to do in this exercise is we're going to cultivate wholesome karma. Literally, we're going to manufacture karma, metta karma. So it's not an esoteric thing. It's a very practical, pragmatic thing that's something that we can do. And so because we're dealing with the mind and thinking and language and concepts and ideas, as we hold the view as being something that we agree with or that we want to cultivate, and then we set intention, the intention in motion, what we do now is we bring in the third factor of the Eightfold Path, which is right speech. So we're actually going to use language, words, and ideas as a way to hopefully foster and to bring out this a loving kindness, this metta experience. And so when we move into the instructions, I'll give you very, very specific instructions around breath awareness, and we're going to repeat a series of phrases over to ourselves. Say, may I be at ease. I have this desire to be at ease. May I be at ease. I'm going to say that to my experience. May I be safe. May I accept myself just as I am. And so for some of you who have done it this way before, I just want to reestablish and reclarify, you know, it might seem like we're just sitting here trying to say nice things to ourselves. This is not affirmations. It's not that. It's just getting the mind and the heart aligned. And so because the mind works in thinking, we have to use thinking to draw that quality out of the heart. It's just very pragmatic. And so as we say the phrase, we say, may I be at ease, hopefully the heart will start to see that we're calling towards it. And you might feel, the practice might feel totally dry, and you might feel like you're just saying phrases the whole time, and that's fine. You might actually start to feel an emotional experience. Your heart might start to have a quiver or a sense of movement around that. And you might experience the desired effect. That also, of course, is fine. You can't do this wrong. You can't really do any of this stuff wrong. You're either doing it or not doing it. And in the doing of it, believe it or not, I know the mind can be suspicious, you're actually generating and cultivating karma in real time. So if the mind is doubtful or suspicious, that's probably to be expected on some level, but we just stay with it anyway. We just stay with that experience anyway. And so we'll do these instructions. I'll keep it very simple for today. And we'll treat this like it's an experiment. And as my friend Vinny would like to say, it's time to stop looking at the menu and eat the food. So why don't you find a posture, a friendly, kind posture to sit in. And also, as we move into the instructions, this type of meditation and the instructions are, because they're quite specific, you might find that this is going to take a little bit more effort than maybe normal. So I just want to let you know that this is going to be something that really do your best to follow the instructions, because they're going to be very specific. And really, the invitation is to really just take refuge in the instructions and just stay with it. So whatever you need to do to allow your body to arrive, and as always, I like to begin with the bell, so we will start and end the meditation with the sound of the bell. And so just as we begin inclining your mind towards anything that I might have said that felt true for you, and then just allowing your attention to settle into your breathing as you've been doing all day. Just a very general light touch on the breath, mindfulness of breathing. And just coming into contact with your experience. And just inclining the mind towards a kindness, a goodness, a friendliness. And sometimes this can be experienced as a type of softening. So it might be helpful to feel into the breath and notice that the breath is very soft. The actual physical texture of breathing in and of itself is very soft. So see if you can align your attention to the experience of being soft. And so moving your attention to the front of your experience, feeling into the empty space in front of you, relaxing all of the muscles in your face, letting go of any tension or tightness at your jaw, and allowing yourself to feel all of the muscles and all of the nerve endings in the front of your throat. And to see if you can release tension or tightness so the front of your neck, the front of your throat is very relaxed, at ease. And then slowly guiding down, softening your chest, and just feeling the softness, the rising and falling of the in and out breath right at your chest. And also allowing your belly to be soft. So just noticing if you might be holding any tension or tightness at the belly, and just let the breath soften that outward. So the whole front of your physical experience is really soft. The cheeks are soft, the throat soft, relaxed, letting the chest and the heart soften, and also the belly. And so your primary focus of attention can be in this region, softening outward, and just feeling into all of the muscles, the nervous system. And then if you can, allowing your general awareness to arrive right at the location of your heart center. And again, if you find an image to be helpful, just to imagine that you're breathing into and out of your own heart. And some people even like to place their hand over their heart. If you like to do that, go ahead. And just feeling the breath. And as you soften and breathe, to see if you can get in touch with or if you can access your own deepest wish, just to see if you can feel into the desire to be at ease, to be safe. Your desire to be good, to feel good. And however it makes sense for you, but to just feel into that, to see if you can touch your own desire to be at ease, to be safe, to be kind with yourself, unconditionally, to be your own best friend. And I oftentimes like to think about this as I feel into my experience, to just let myself know that I got your back. I am totally here for you. And just feeling into that, sense into that. I am totally here for you. See if you can allow the heart to open up a little bit. Then as we continue with this practice, feeling into the heart center, softening the face, the belly, the throat, getting in touch with your deepest wish and desire to be at ease, to just offer the phrases inwardly here in your own meditation, cultivating this intention. May I be at ease. May I be at ease. May I be safe. May I be safe. May I accept myself just as I am in this moment. May I accept myself just as I am in this moment. And allowing your breathing to guide your attention. And just allowing the phrases to land in your experience. May I be at ease. May I be at ease. May I be safe. May I be safe. May I be safe. And may I accept myself. Just as I am. May I fully accept myself just as I am in this moment. However I am, right now. Just practicing whatever phrase makes most sense to you right now. May I be at ease. May I be safe. May I accept myself just as I am. Just over and over repeating that inwardly and continuing to release any tension in the throat, the belly, the face. as best you can, cultivating an inner quality of loving kindness, friendliness, remembering to soften the front of the body, relaxing the throat. May I be at ease. May I be safe. May I accept myself in this moment just as I am. And just as best you can, getting access to this intention to be kind, to be friendly, to be good, to be loving. That's all that's required, is the intention. Bringing this metta right into the body. May I be at ease in my body just as it is. May I be kind to my body. May I be at ease in the body just as it is, however it is. Sending kindness to your body. May I be at ease with my mind, my thinking, my thoughts. Whatever the mind is like right now, may I be at ease with this mind. Sending kindness to the mind, friendly with the mind. Acknowledging that the mind is often in pain and the mind needs your friendliness. May I be at ease with my mind. And also bringing this kindness, loving kindness and friendliness into your heart. Breathing into the heart. May I be at ease with my own heart. May I be at ease with my emotion, my feeling. May I be at ease in my heart just as it is. And as best as you are able, for now, just holding your experience with a kind and friendly hand. And that whatever is happening right now is good enough. Whatever is happening right now is good enough. May I be at ease. May I be safe. May I be kind to myself. May I be at ease. May I be safe. May I be kind to myself. So I want to encourage you to do to bring this into your walking now, to continue with the practice that you just did into the walking, using the phrases, one step, may I be at ease, may I be safe, may I be kind with myself, may I be at ease, may I be safe, may I accept myself. And just continuing the practice that we just did, carrying that into the walking.